don't do it this way.
Yep. Is it good enough with the ambient sound?
You think so? Okay. I mean, again, if it were podcast, I would be like, no, we have to reschedule. But for something like this, it should be fine.
Sure,
just speak clearly. I think if like someone goes by like really blaring,
right,
we probably would need to do something, you know, restate it. But
okay.
So anyway, we're here at Alana's. It's Damien and Aaron Darling. It is August 12th, and we're starting at 10:14. All right, so. So I think, you know, we like to always ask sort of an easy groundbreaking question to get things going. I've seen on your social media images of you walking and bicycling and all of that. I would think, could you just sort of describe your own transportation diet? How often do you bike or take transit, and what goes into making the decision on how to get around? I always add that I drove here today, so if you're not a bike purist, I bike everywhere I go. That is a perfectly fine answer.
Yeah. I mean, I bike as much as I can. I used to bike to work down Venice Boulevard when I worked at, in non-court days, when I worked at Eviction Defense Network. So I just go straight down Venice Boulevard, get to like La Brea, jog over to Olympic. Because I remember the first time I did it, I got east of Western and the potholes got so bad, I literally busted, I got a flat my first day on my new bike. But no, now I have a kid, and so I drive him to childcare in West Adams, and then my office is in Koreatown. So that's my normal routine. But on weekends, yeah, I surf, bike to the beach or bike with my kid. And then walking, I mean, yes, I walk all the time to walk, but I do not walk for chores. I think it's like there's like that little distance where it's like just too far enough to walk for chores. But big picture is I'm really excited to get an electric bike and start being able to do kind of chores and, you know, trips on an electric bike. I feel like that, I love biking, but like the time that it cuts with an e-bike and then the fun and the stylishness, I'm really looking forward to that. And if you have any, maybe it's another conversation for a different time, the Von Moof versus the other types. Something I'm looking into.
Yeah, I'm agnostic on e-bikes on the version. I say I have bad knees, and so at some point in my life it'll just be I have to convert
right
from bike to e-bike. It's a big part of my exercise regime is bicycling, I can't switch just yet. And I already have two bikes. I don't think I can justify a third one in the backyard.
Yeah.
I mean, I can to myself.
Yeah.
But no one else.
Yeah.
All right. So I mean, it sounds like you've got a good, we use the word diet or looking at menu. I know that's got an extra meaning as we sit here on Venice Boulevard. But I think, you know, the standard question we get is, I think everyone understands at this point that our transportation network is one of the causes of climate change. So as a city council member, what do you see as something we can do to encourage people to do less of those single occupancy trips? Again, we're not asking that everyone go car free.
Right,
although
yeah.
if you want to say that, that's great. But what can we do sort of to just help people make transitions to less single occupancy trips?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the big picture is we need to create the infrastructure so that people are less reliant on their automobiles and that they have alternatives. And I think it's the proverbial, if you build it, they will come. I mean, so there's one, extending the planet, metro extensions are important. I personally, I would like to see it go to the Santa Monica, not just to the VA. I mean, I think that's kind of, I think that kind of needs to happen.
The
subway.
Yeah.
We call it the metro. I don't know.
Yeah,
call
it whatever you want. Sorry. No, I was still thinking Expo Line when you first said metro.
Yeah,
so
my different
brain
lines.
A second to transition.
And then of course the connection to the airport. I will hope means that people are less reliant on automobiles as they go to and from the airport. But I think the other thing is within the West Side, we need to make...
To eavesdrop, but I heard you talking about transportation and climate change. I see your streets blog. Sure.
He is streets blog.
I sort of streets blog, but yes.
Okay, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm a reader. I'm involved with Bike Culver City.
Oh, cool. I'm Damien. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You probably recognize Joe's our day-to-day
these days,
but I still pop in.
David Coles. Hello.
I'm Aaron.
Nice to meet you. You guys doing some official business here? Or?
Yeah, Aaron is one of our two candidates for city council this area, so he replaced Mike.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm a Culver City, so I'm not eligible to vote for you, but I see that you are endorsed by the people I trust, so I'll probably be contributing to your campaign. me.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Is this a candidate forum or a candidate?
Yeah, it is.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I love interviews in public when this happens.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. I hope you win.
Appreciate that, man.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you too. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that. It's always better to do these in public than in an office.
Yeah, totally.
Although, I think it was Jan Perry 5 years ago. We had a heckler while we were trying to do it. We were on an expo line station down in the Kids City Council District. I don't remember which station. Someone was yelling at from across the station at her while we were doing the interview. Anyway, sorry. We were talking getting people out of their cars.
Intro West Side Travel.
Right.
So, you know, Metro Micro, first mile, last mile, and then connected bike lanes so that people can do chores, not just go to the beach. You know, I feel like that's a big issue. I think with e-bikes, as I say, I think it's to the extent that people can, you know, whatever percentage of, you know, the high percentage of people travel within less than a mile of their house for chores, I feel like that's like low-hanging fruit. I feel like a lot of people, especially younger people, want to do that. And so we need to create the infrastructure for that as well.
All right, so we sort of seem to be in general agreement on the infrastructure. I don't plan on talking about Mike Bonin a lot in either of these interviews, but when we talk about infrastructure in the neighborhood and in the communities, you know, the two road diets in 2017 or something that come up a lot, the one that we're sitting next to in Venice and the one down in Playa del Rey. So I think the question would be is what do we do differently than what we did in 2017? I know you probably don't know all the details of 2017, but what can we do to sort of avoid that sort of conflict? And I think the term they like to use at Streets Below National is bike lash to those types of projects that whether they were the perfect project or not, I think most people agree that the conversation at the time was overheated.
Overheating is the right word. I mean, I think it's sad in our politics where every conflict feels like it overheats, and this is one of them. And so, look, I think generally public outreach has to be thorough. Design can't be predetermined. That has to feel authentic to people, that they have a say. So outreach is huge. I also feel like there's flexibility, but I also feel like there needs to be a communication of the... with climate change, the immediacy that we all have to act on, and like the playing a role, and then there's also the question, if not here, where, you know? And so, because I think there's a lot of people who say, oh, I'm not against bike lanes, but it doesn't make sense, and then they fill in the blank, and like that's, I think, you know, but you know, like people can't feel bulldozed, and so yeah, I think there's a balancing act of having community engagement and design input, and not feeling like people were going through the motions for community engagement. With that said, I think we need leadership on creating infrastructure. And it's tough. Let's acknowledge that there is an uphill battle in LA where if you take a lane, it's like someone feels like something visceral has been taken from them, you know? And it's like, it's just a trip because here we are looking at it and like I don't see a massive congestion, you know, and someone has just waved to us, you know? And so, you know, I think whatever street we're talking about, at the end of the day, if anything, we're gonna see more bicyclists if we have interconnected system throughout the city and it's not just a patchwork of a few streets.
Yeah, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it, but there's a plan now to extend the Venice bike lanes sort of all the way, 5 miles that way.
Yeah.
Do you think does that plan make sense to you? Is it something that...
Yeah, I mean, I think, big picture, I would want like a bicycle lane that connects from the beach to the downtown. And so whether it follows one street or not, like I'm ambivalent about like what street it is, you know, but I do feel like we need that interconnected, you know, from downtown. I haven't seen the exact design of it, and so it's my understanding that there's kind of different models of like, you know, which side the parking will be on, and like
they're still in their outreach phases.
Exactly. So that part I don't have like, you know, strong opinion on. On the other hand, I think it makes sense to continue this for sure.
Sure. I think we were just talking about building a regional interconnected network. We were talking a little bit about community involvement and how to do that. Do you have a set idea for what you see the role of sort of neighborhood councils being in determining transportation projects? Some people think that they're meeting with them to check in the box. Some people think they should be given a veto. It's sort of an everything in between. Having served on one, I'm in the in-between category. But
yeah, likewise. I feel like a neighborhood council shouldn't have veto power. On the other hand, it can't just be perfunctory. And we also have to acknowledge that neighborhood councils speak for people, but they're not necessarily fully reflective bodies, and just in terms of looking at the outreach. Like, I served on the Venice Neighborhood Council, and I think one year I got elected with like the second most votes, and my second most votes was like under 150 votes. Like, so it's like, let's be honest in like terms of the scope of the role. On the other hand, like, neighborhood councils can't be ignored. Like, this is, if anything, this is the grassroots kind of mediation that is important. And it makes sense that like the forums come through that, you know? Mm-hmm. I guess I would agree that it's somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not an easy one. Having been on them, you don't want to say bad things about them.
Well, no, it's not even saying bad things. I think they're important because it's like, if anything, like how else do you easily organize a neighborhood forum? Like it's they're crucial. But we also have to acknowledge how the city designed them. Like, they do not have veto power in the power that was vested by the city. So, like, I mean, that's just kind of a legal fact of the matter.
Yeah. We've talked about climate change a little bit, talked about Venice and Del Rey. I guess would be is, do you have sort of a, the last two council members have both chaired the City Council Transportation Committee, been on like the Expo's advisory boards, and Mike's been on the Metro board too.
Yeah.
Is that something that I know you don't really control what you're appointed to.
Sure. Yeah.
Mike's certainly made that clear. Is transportation something that you see as sort of traditional, I don't know, West Side piece at this point? Would you be pursuing those sorts of positions again? I mean, there's only so many hours in a day.
Sure, sure. I mean, I would say one, going to downtown, coming from the West Side, you can't be entitled, because there's already a sense downtown that if you're coming from the West Side, you're entitled. So like, I can't be like, oh, West Side's, you know, we deserve it over any other neighborhood. Like, I can't say that. With that said, I personally do want to continue that. I think intra West Side traffic and intra West Side travel is so bonkers that I think CD 11 constituents expect that and hope that, and so I think it's important. And then let's also not forget we've got LAX, so we've got a magnet that like the entire region comes to, and then also just the job pull on the West Side, where in my lifetime traffic has reversed itself. Like, now the jobs are on the West Side as opposed to downtown, and so like there's a massive amount of traffic coming through the 405 and the 10 coming downtown, and so it impacts all of us. And so because I'm so focused on, you know, housing and how it intersects, especially with transportation, I would love to be in that intersection of housing and transportation.
Yeah, I was trying to not hit on housing and homelessness as much in this interview.
Sure,
no, I feel like everyone. No. It's, I'm just saying there's a reason I didn't bring that up on its own.
Sure, sure,
that's
sure.
Sort of something that you and Tracy talk a lot about. So that being said, is there anything specific you would sort of have as a transportation agenda as a council member? Specific projects or ideals or goals that you would put out like this is?
Yeah, yeah. Big picture, I would say, expanding first mile, last mile, intra West Side travel, including Metro Micro, and making it easier for seniors to get places. So expanding LADOT, transfer to seniors, and then not adamant where it's located, but creating a system of interconnected bike lanes and bus only lanes to make it easier for people to be less reliant on their cars.
Now, I think it's interesting because you specifically brought up seniors, and they often get left out of the transportation discussion.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a father of two kids in primary and middle school, so I'm always talking safer to schools, slow streets around schools. that, but it's sort of a very different, it's a similar in that it's similar type things that provide mobility for seniors, but different because there's different considerations that take it. Is there, you mentioned increasing transfers for seniors, which is great. Are there other things that would specifically stick out as something for seniors that we should be focusing on?
Well, I mean, I think if the pandemic, what we've learned is that there's so many seniors have been isolated, and I think there's so many working class seniors who just don't have money even for food, right? And so like access to basic services often requires like a month, I mean, or a week ahead of time to like, you know, get a shuttle and, you know, go to a doctor's appointment and all these things. And like that, it just shows like the classism of getting old in this country, right? And so I think that should be addressed by local government. And then I will also say that a lot of seniors are reliant on their automobiles. Like the one group that's probably least likely to start like biking for daily errands are people, you know, north of say 70, right? And so I think it's important just to have an infrastructure that they can rely on, including also making sure that basic car access isn't lost, you know, for folks who quite frankly don't have the ability to transition.
And wait, that's not my phone, is it? I heard someone's alarm going off. I'm like, no, oh God.
I'm just looking at the Snoopy and
oh God, yeah, right. My phone cover. My daughter picks my phone cover.
That's good. It's good.
I'll tell you one time because of just.
I can't believe I remembered Woodstock. That was just like.
Oh yeah. Well.
That's good.
Yeah.
We're still big fans of this show.
Yeah, yeah.
We actually bought Apple TV just for it.
Oh good.
So we could continue.
The classic piano lick.
Oh gosh, yeah. And the Christmas pageant we do at our church is even worse than the one that they do. It's terrible. But I always think of that when we're programming it.
I always think of Penis when I go to Barstow.
Oh, yeah.
Woodstock's cousin or whatever.
Yeah, he's got one in Barstow and another one in Needles.
Needles, excuse me. Needles is what I meant to say.
No, but I think the overweight one is in Barstow. Like, they're all scattered around.
The one with the mustache is in Needles.
The one with the mustache, the skinny one that talks to cactuses. Yeah. All right. Well, this will be great in the transcript. Yeah.
Sorry.
Last one. The last thing I always ask in these types of interviews is like, you know, I have sort of a set of questions I want to give the two of you so that you're answering similar questions for any sort of write-up. But is there something else that, you know, about, you know, transportation and the environment, mobility that I didn't bring up that we should touch on?
I mean, if we're talking about both candidates, I think there's a very big contrast. I mean, I was endorsed by, you know, Streets for All. I think it's important to me that the citywide transportation vision, where of which like we've achieved 7%, is like that's unacceptable, right? And so I think like the mobility plan, it's not like we're like starting from scratch. Like the city's thought about this, and it's can we execute? And so I think that is an important thing to emphasize. Making the mobility plan real. And then big picture is, I've been talking about this since the day I got in the race, is we got to talk about climate change. And of course, transportation is a component, but also energy. And like, we have a public utility in this city. Most cities can't brag about that. Like, effectively, Angelenos can elect a city council that can push the publicly owned utility to get to 100% renewable energy. So many cities can't have that. And in a city of almost 4 million people, which is a small country, essentially, in the face of federal inaction, and quite frankly, the Supreme Court handcuffing federal action on this issue, the city of LA has to push DWP to get to 100% energy ASAP. And I'm pushing that, and my opponent is not. And you look at who's backing her, is a reason why. And so I think there's a big contrast, and to the folks reading, you're gonna be getting a lot of mail. And it's going to be a reason for that.
A lot of mail.
You know, and there's financial interests who don't want to see us make the expensive but necessary investments to 100% renewable energy. And because of that, you're going to see a lot of euphemistic named groups that are sending you random mailers.
All right, great. Thank you so much for your time today. And